You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. Our associate pastor is Father Steve Gira. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Once again today we have our Advent prophet, Prophet Isaiah, speaking to us. And we may recall his message from last weekend. It wasn't a very nice message. It wasn't very comforting, because he kept raking us over the coals, calling us to look at the truthfulness and honesty of our sinful ways, that we're overcome by our guilt. And lest we think we have anything at all to come before God and offer, he said, all my good deeds are like polluted rags. It's a pretty graphic description. Pretty harsh stuff. Meant to shake us up, meant to wake us up. Like any good parent, sometimes you have to do that. Don't you just want to sometimes shake your kid? You say to him, look at what you just did. Look at it. You did it. Admit it. And as we grow up, sometimes we don't cease to have to learn things the hard way. That is, by thinking we're right, doing it, doing what we want, and then suffering the consequences of our decisions, these prideful decisions and failures. But Isaiah's point is not just to make us feel more and more guilty. What good would that be? Worse yet, to feel as if all is lost, all is hopeless. There's no point to that. Any good parent knows what you really want is for your kid to say, ah, now I get it. To kind of wake up and see what is really right there. To acknowledge the truth and change. Don't do it again. Don't you promise your mom, I'll never do it again. And that's what we want to try, to not do it again. But we have to be awakened. We have to acknowledge that truth, like all those people coming out to John the Baptist, being baptized, because they acknowledge, admit the truth of their sin. But it is about hope, not despair. Advent is a season to offer us a new beginning, a hopeful beginning. A chance for a better world. Surely, we would all agree, we would love to see a better world. But as Thomas Merton once wrote, the only way to change the world is to change the thoughts and desires of those who live in it. Sometimes, like the Israelites of old to whom Isaiah addressed his original message, we end up in exile. The Israelites were in exile. They had been deported from their land. They had lost everything because of their own bad choices and sinful behaviors. And now they're in exile. And they feel the pain. They feel the loss. But Isaiah comes along now, today, with a different message. The message of comfort. Isn't it exactly what we feel when you admit it? You know, you say, ah, yeah, I messed this up. I really did. And there is a relief in that. The pressure is off. You don't have to put on this mask of self-righteousness like, I didn't really do that, or somebody else did that. Mistakes were made, but I didn't do it. There is a comfort in a freedom of admitting to the truth. And so it was that the Israelites felt that as they heard Isaiah say, you have experienced through your own failure double for all your sins. And now it was time for Isaiah to say to them, but in your failure and in your admission of sin, in the crisis of exile, there is opportunity to choose a new path, a straight path, not a crooked one. A chance for new life. Opportunity dawns. And that's how it always is in crisis. Crises are terrible and difficult and challenging, but they are also opportunities for something better. And I wonder, as we look at our world, as we look at the crises in our world, what are they trying to teach us? And are they not, in fact, maybe an opportunity for us to wake up and to change our course, to straighten our crooked roads? Maybe we are in exile. We certainly are in an economic exile, not a physical one, but we all feel the pain of the economic circumstances, this exile that we're in. Perhaps it is a clarion call to say, look at what you've done. Look at how you've chosen more and more, how greed has swept you down the road. We, like the Israelites, might have thought our economy unstoppable, invincible, the pie to grow ever bigger and bigger, that we could have more and more and more. And so now we hear the words, now look what you've done. And here we are, all together in this exile. But in the exile, opportunity knocks. If we can learn and change and grow, then we can make the world a better place for all the people in it, especially for those who suffer so greatly because of these circumstances, the poor and those in hardship. We can announce a good news. We can announce glad tidings. But what would that look like? What would good news sound like to you? What would glad tidings look like in the shape of the world in which we live? How would we recognize good news if we heard and saw it? Is it just good news that would be a return to what was? Or are we looking for something else? Something bigger, something better, something new? Imagine it for a moment. What would you like to see? And now ask, if this is what I would like to see, how can I be a part of making it happen? Isaiah envisioned it happening because God would break into the world with the power of a shepherd. The power of a shepherd is going to make all the difference in the world? Is that what we were hoping for or looking for? Or were we looking for another kind of power? But no, Isaiah says, not at all. This will be a shepherd's power, a power to gather lovingly, to carry gently, to feed generously, and to lead the way like a parent who might reach out his or her hand to your child, grab them by the hand, and show them how to walk the road that is ahead. It is what St. Peter said in the second reading today. A God who is a shepherd who is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the new world where all should come to life and repentance. Does that fit with our own vision, or must we not admit that from time to time there are those who we can think of who we might not want to include in such a vision, who we might not mind if they just faded away and were unincluded? But if God has been and continues to be so patient, so forgiving, so compassionate, so generous, giving me chance after chance after chance after chance, new opportunities galore, how is it that I could be and can be so exacting, so demanding, and so impatient with so many others? God wants to break into our world today, into this exile, especially for all those in need. God wants to break in with a shepherd's power. God wants to come again with power and force that is entrusted to us by our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And so it is that it is up to us to imagine the ways that we can bring the divine shepherding power, full of compassion, feeding and caring and forgiving and welcoming and gathering and protecting and loving. This is the power of the divine transformation of the world. Because the only way to change the world is to change the thoughts and desires of those who live in it. So I invite you now to take these couple minutes of silent reflection and imagine in your own mind the likes of that new world, of what you would like it to be as you hear God trying to make it unfold. What does it look like? What do you see? And ask yourself, what do I need to change to be a part of making that new world come?